Morning. Let's dig in. So in the beginning, what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed. No birth, no beginning, no end. They've always been, they'll always be. And after creation, he created man. God created man. They were still one. They were still all together. And they spoke to man. They called Abraham to leave everything he knew and go. They called Moses to build an ark Noah to build an ark because God was about ready to change the whole complexion of the earth. Then, in a more contemporary time, only a couple thousand years ago, a girl, probably 14, 15 years old, got pregnant, and she was carrying the Son of God. And that threesome in heaven, one of those three Godheads came to earth and became a man and changed everything. The Holy Spirit was still part of the mix. In fact, the power of the Holy Spirit is what raised Jesus from the grave. The power of the Holy Spirit is what gave Jesus the strength and courage and power to heal the sick and raise the dead. It was all in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wasn't like taking a vacation while Jesus was here on earth. The Holy Spirit was involved. Jesus said that he only did what the Father said. So he was receiving direct communication from the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing the work that he did on earth. And Jesus left, and as he left, the last night that he spent on earth is recorded in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. I don't think that most people realize that that was all just one session in the upper room where Jesus said the last things that he was going to say to man before he left, he said them in those chapters. Do you realize that almost all the teaching that we have on the Holy Spirit was from Jesus himself? Almost everything we know about the Holy Spirit, how he works, how he operates, the influence he has in our lives, came from Jesus himself. He told us, he taught us, he taught the disciples, and then we gathered that information from the Gospels. He told us about the Holy Spirit. So then Jesus goes and is seated at the right hand of the Father, which he is to this day, in a human body at the right hand of the Father. That'll trip you out. And he'll always have this human body. And it's a blessing to him because it reminds him of who we are in him. But he's at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is where? In us. All around us, but mostly in us. He was given to us as a gift, every believer. So every believer on earth since the time that Jesus rose from the dead who believed in the Son has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Spirit. You really can't hear the Spirit because the Spirit is a spirit. Jesus is a man. You can hear his voice. It's hard to hear the voice of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a voice. When you figure that out, come to me and explain that to me, how a spirit could have a voice. But the Father had a voice. Jesus made known the voice of the Father. He made known the will of the Father to the earth. He told us the Father what the Father's heart was. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father at this very moment. And the Father and the Son have conversations. And the Holy Spirit relays those conversations to us. Because he loves us so much, the Father loves us so much, Jesus loves us so much, that there's this constant communication going on between the Godhead and us through the Holy Spirit. So as I was reading through, well, let me just start. The Holy Spirit has a voice. I love that you just introduced that for me, Nancy. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit has a voice. And I just wanted to put down some of the role he plays in our lives as and with his voice. It says in John chapter 10, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice still, We still listen to the voice of Jesus. Where do we hear it? Is there some building we go to, some prayer center we go to hear the voice of God, the voice of Jesus? No, it's in the Word. The Word is still alive. It's still speaking, still very active. The Word is, it was given to us as a gift, the same way the Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift from the Father. Because the Father wants us to know his heart. He wants us to know his love for us. So Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. And what I believe is that we as believers listen to the voice of God. And mostly that voice is communicated through the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Father have conversations all the time, like I said. And the Holy Spirit is constantly making known to us the voice of the Father, the heart of the Father, the Son, and all that he wants us to know. And it comes through the Holy Spirit. So I put down just a couple things. This list can be long, short. I've seen a lot of different presentations of this list of the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life. This is one of them. The Holy Spirit is where when we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, through that comes a regeneration of our soul. When the Holy Spirit enters the life of a repentant believer, he literally breathes new life into us. He regenerates us. We become a new person. We aren't the same person anymore. I remember what I was like before Jesus. I am not the same person, and neither are you. And so regeneration is a part of that. Power is a part of what he plays the role of being the one who yields power to us. So when you're praying for Joel to be healed, you're calling on the Holy Spirit to give you the power to heal him, to speak healing into him. That's why I like fire tunnels, is because it's a release of the Holy Spirit's power. I mean, there were words that were spoken, but if anything dramatic happened in this fire tunnel as far as, you know, captivate my heart again, Lord, it happened because the Holy Spirit's power. Because the Holy Spirit empowered us to bring these people, encourage these people back to a place of being captivated by his love. The Holy Spirit brings us guidance, tells us how to get from here to there, moves us along this path in life. If you know me, I'm big into the journey, because we are on a journey together, and I think that's the strength and the encouragement that comes through the body of Christ, is that we journey together. Yesterday, Rick and Floyd and Jimmy and Benj, Rick's son, formed a musical group, and they played over in Klaskanai. And I went over there because I wanted to be part of that journey. That's why we do things together. We journey together. That's what Wednesdays is about, is being on that journey together and experiencing that. What happened last week with Adam and Annie, you had to be there. Nobody can explain to you what happened. We just walked together for a while, for a couple hours. That's where we're at this morning. That's why I think church on Sundays is so important, is because this is where we reconnect on the journey. You can still be a part of evangelism and not be here for weeks or months. But you'll miss out on that part of the journey that we have together. You know, yesterday I went over and was part of demolishing the House of Prayer for All Nations, a little building over here on 7th, that us as a city are rebuilding for them. Larry Russell mainly has taken the lead, and he is rebuilding that church for them, as a gift to them. So I was part of the demo crew yesterday, and it was amazing, because that's part of the journey we have as a city. We're on that journey together as a city. So when you have these opportunities like that to jump in and be part of that journey together, I mean, some people will talk, when people talk about rebuilding the House of Prayer for All Nations, I'm part of that. I'm part of that journey. All I did was show up, and I become part of that journey. And you can too. The same thing with the project we're doing, the painting project we're doing. I mean, someplace, somewhere, that's written down that was accomplished on that weekend, and we're part of that. So the Holy Spirit gives us guidings along the way. I love what it says in this last line here. If you are a child of God, you have access to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit's guidance, you must learn to discern his voice and his subtle nudgings. And if you've been a believer for a while, you know that it's subtle nudgings that you get. The Holy Spirit brings unity. That's where the word koinonia comes from. It appears in the Bible for the first time. Where is it at? Acts 2. And then it appears 18 times after that. Because it's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tends to bring us together, make us one. All we do is show up. We don't have to really do anything. We don't even have to like each other very much. We don't have to agree with the leader. But the fact that we're together gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to breathe unity into a situation. I mean, it is better if we love each other, since it's the great commandment. You know, it's just better if we love each other. But the Holy Spirit isn't waiting for us to love each other to create unity. Unity is a byproduct of his presence with his people. Then intercession, comfort, and refinement. All those things are part of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Well, I was reading through Acts last week, this week, at the different times when it said, I did a search of the Holy Spirit said, which is a phrase that's strange, but it's throughout Acts. It's actually in the Old Testament. I think I put one of the scriptures down here, Ezekiel chapter 2. This phrase, the Holy Spirit said, is a kind of a weird phrase because the Holy Spirit is a spirit. And somewhere in the past, people received what they felt like was the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the way they wrote that down on paper was, the Holy Spirit said. Now, how weird is that? If you were to write down your encounters with God, would you have the boldness to write down, the Holy Spirit told me? I know that we do that, but we do it in a kind of a tricky little way that gives us a back door. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. Part of that comes as a repercussion from Thus Saith the Lord, which came out of the Pentecostal movement, where everybody was and everything was Thus Saith the Lord, which kind of went tilted a little bit to that direction. But we've tilted way the other direction where we say, I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. I feel like the Lord is saying. These guys in the Bible said, the Holy Spirit said. And we're going to look at some of these scriptures, and I just want you to see one thing. All those things that we just mentioned above, the role of the Holy Spirit, all those are done through the Holy Spirit's voice, every one of them. Everything he does in our lives, we are not like puppets that the Holy Spirit slips into and starts working us. That is not how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Holy Spirit is not holy goosebumps, this evidence that we have that, oh, this must be God, I'm getting goosebumps. That's not the Holy Spirit necessarily. Sometimes our emotions can do that. So where is the Holy Spirit involved? What's the Holy Spirit doing? Well, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He has things he wants to say to us. And I'm not saying that because it's my idea. It's all throughout the New Testament. Once the Holy Spirit was given to the church as a gift, the Holy Spirit has never held back. There's never been a time when he said, I'm going to take a break for a while because these people just aren't getting it. Until they get it, I'm just not going to speak anymore. I think he's speaking to us even when we say, when we testify, I can't hear anything. I think he's speaking. I think he always speaks to the people of God, to the church, to the body of Christ. He's always speaking to us. So let's look at these scriptures and just see if you see what I see. So Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now, remember, this is before Jesus, and so what was the Holy Spirit's role in the church then? The same as the Father and the Son. Before Jesus came to earth, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son worked as one to accomplish the goals of God, the heart of the Father on the earth. And so this is what it says. Stand up, my son. This is someone speaking to Ezekiel. Said the voice, I want to speak to you. That's what the voice said. The Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. You can learn a lot from this. I listened carefully to his words. Son of man, he said, I'm sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. And their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are a stubborn and hard-hearted people, but I am sending you to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they are rebels. At least they will know that I had a prophet among them. So this is the Holy Spirit speaking through a prophet. And the prophet wrote down what he said and recorded it someplace, and that became the book of Ezekiel. The Holy Spirit said something, and it was recorded and written in the Bible. In Mark chapter 13, it says, when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. So we're talking about what we say. Just say what God tells you. At that time, for it's not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit isn't just saying something, but as we speak, the Holy Spirit is saying something through us. So it's our words invested in us and moving through us for an outside kind of accomplished, something that was accomplished outside of our bodies, but the Holy Spirit was speaking through us. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you. Have you ever experienced that happening? When you realize that what you're saying is not necessarily coming from your brain, but it's something God is speaking through you. It happens to me all the time, and I hardly ever give God credit for it because I think it's just me now because it's so ingrained in who I am. I don't separate it out and say, the Holy Spirit says, but somebody did, you know? It says in Mark 13, somebody did that. The Holy Spirit was speaking through me. And there are times when it's just me. We'll talk about that in a minute. John 16, this is where Jesus really laid a foundational understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. John 16, verse 13 through 15, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's what he'll do. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. From where? Where's he hearing these things from? The Father and the Son who are in heaven. He's hearing it there and speaking it here, same way Jesus did. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Jesus says that. He'll receive things from me, and he's going to tell you those things. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. And then in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go. Holy Spirit said to a man, go into the desert. And you know what happened when he got into the desert? He met a man who had an encounter with God, and Philip was part of that encounter. That's what I mean by journey. What he did was the Holy Spirit said, Philip, there's a man on a journey in the desert, and I want you to go join his journey. I want you to go join him on his journey. And Philip came back and wrote about it and said, I only went there because the Holy Spirit told me to go there. The Holy Spirit said, go. In Acts chapter 10, meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to Peter, the Holy Spirit said, three men have come looking for you. And there were three men who had come. Why did those three men come looking for Peter? Because the Holy Spirit said, go find Peter. I mean, it's just like the Holy Spirit is orchestrating these things all the time. In Acts chapter 11, the Holy Spirit told me, go with them and not worry that they were Gentiles. These six brothers here accompanied me, and we soon entered the home of the man who was sent for us. The Holy Spirit told me. In Acts chapter 13, one day, these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for that special work which I've called them to. Now, if we were going to write about this story, about we were sitting in a room fasting and praying, and all of a sudden we felt like the Lord said, see, remember, this is what we do. We felt like the Lord said, send Barnabas and Paul. We would write down, we were sitting in a room together fasting and praying, and we felt like the Lord said, send Barnabas and Paul. But that's not what these guys said. The Holy Spirit said to them, apparently not just one of them, but the whole group while they were fasting and praying, send Barnabas and Paul. And so when they recorded that event, they wrote down, the Holy Spirit told us to send Barnabas and Paul. This happens over and over again. Acts 15, for it seemed good. This is one of my favorites. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us to lay no greater burden on you. This is a bunch of Gentiles who had received the Lord as their Savior, and now they were looking for some direction from the Jewish Christians about how they should live their life. And the leaders got together and they said this to the Gentile believers, the new believers. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements, which totally went against the grain of the Jewish tradition. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood and the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you'll do well. It seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. Who would write that phrase? We decided, this. If it was us, we'd say, we decided that you should do this. But these guys said, on purpose, for a reason, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. So apparently there was a mutual dialogue between these guys and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said something and they wrote down, we agreed with what the Holy Spirit said. I don't think the Holy Spirit agreed with what they said. I think they agreed with what the Holy Spirit said. And they were so keenly aware of that, that they keyed into it and wrote that down. We're almost finished. I just want you to see that this happens a lot and for a reason. And I also want you to pick up on the fact that if we were to write down some of these things that we experience, we would rarely do what these people are doing. There's a boldness here. They're convinced of the things that God was saying to them. In Acts chapter 1, 21, several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over and took Paul's belt and bound him up with bound his own feet and hands with it, and he said, the Holy Spirit declares. So he takes a belt, wraps it around his hands and feet, and he says, this is what the Holy Spirit says about what I've just done. Yeah, you're saying yeah, because you would do something like this. Lisa would do something like this. She would bind herself up, and she says, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. And it's so cool that we have somebody in our midst who gets the forcefulness of a declaration. I mean, there's lots of you who could do that. I mean, but I've heard and seen this myself. When she does things like that, and she believes that the Holy Spirit is speaking so much. I mean, that's where that whole thing with the school of encouragement came out of, a word on a Sunday night when Jim said, I wonder what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. See if you can catch a glimpse of what the Holy, what did you say, Jim? Heaven's perspective. Get heaven's perspective. And when he said, get heaven's perspective, we sat here for quietly for about 10 minutes, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to start using this now. The Holy Spirit said, what would it be like to have a school of encouragement? Lisa got up and shared some stuff. The next Sunday, I shared about the school of encouragement as if it existed, to cast vision for something that came out in a deep roots. We're trying to do this. We're trying to live like this, where we have the boldness to say the Holy Spirit said. And that's kind of what was happening here too. And then there's Acts 28. It refers to what the Holy Spirit said in Isaiah. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, that is why the Holy Spirit says, and this is almost recorded as if everybody knew what the Holy Spirit says. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's actually a quote from the Old Testament. But what he's doing here is he's taking an Old Testament verse and saying, the Holy Spirit gets credit for this. The Holy Spirit said. Well, actually, who said it? Who said, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness? Do you have your Bibles? Oh, no. Never mind. Anyway, somebody said that. The Holy Spirit gets credit for what a man said and a man wrote down on earth. The Holy Spirit gets credit for that in Acts or Hebrews chapter 3. So, that was a lot. I know that that's a lot. I know that's a lot of scripture, and it maybe seems burdensome to go through all those examples, but the Holy Spirit did say stuff, and man did write it down and say, the Holy Spirit said. That's what these people wrote down. You can also find it in Revelation chapter 2. All seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 have this phrase in them. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. That's the word of Jesus to the churches in Revelation, but it's also a word to us. If we want to know what God is saying to the churches, we need to listen to the Spirit. And it says at the end of Revelation, at the end of time, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. How does that work? Is there suddenly this one time on earth when a voice rises up from the earth that's inspired by the Holy Spirit and says, come, Lord Jesus? Is that what calls him is that what calls him back to earth? Is when the Spirit and the Bride say, come? It sounds like it. And it's us agreeing with the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can cry out for all kinds of things right now, but what really connects with God is when what we're crying out for is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So paying attention to what the Holy Spirit wants to do is really important. So whatever we hear spiritually in a divine way comes from three categories. It falls into three categories. First of all, the Spirit. Second, satanic. And third, secular. Those are the origins of the things that we hear. When we talk about what we hear spiritually, the Holy Spirit, those are the things that agree with God. They agree with the truth. They agree with the Word of God and the nature of God, both the Word of God and the nature of God. So you can tell whether they're in the Spirit because it agrees with the Word of God. It doesn't contradict Scripture, and it doesn't contradict the nature of God. That's why it's really important, and I've been really trying to focus on this last couple of years, is you need to know who he is. Because unless you know his nature, unless you know God's character, it's hard to weigh things when it comes to spiritual things. And you can get really wacky and goofy, because sometimes, and I'm really aware of this, because I speak all the time, I'm really aware that I need to be careful that I'm not saying things that don't agree with Scripture. And that even in the same way, don't disagree with the character and nature of God. And one of the most challenging areas is the Father's love for us. Are the things that I'm saying agreeing with the Father's heart of love? Or am I saying things because I want to vent, or I have an opinion, or I want my voice to be heard? Or are these things that are coming out of me in agreement with the Word of God and the nature of God? This is the pure voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes through us all the time like that, I think. We don't realize and give credit to God for some of the things that come out of us that originate in the Spirit. And then satanic is pretty clear, cut and dry. It just contradicts the Word of God, the Word and the truth of God. It contradicts the truth of the Word of God. When Satan speaks, he's deceptive, he lies, he cheats us, he steals from us, and he's always doing that, and he never really sounds enticing. You know, if you've been a Christian any period of time, you can really tell his voice pretty clearly, because if you know who God is, and you know what he's like, and you know what the Word of God says, you know what the Scriptures say about him, you'll easily go, that's not the Lord. You know, sometimes when you're watching TV and you see a preview for an upcoming movie, and it just creeps you out, it's because Satan has authored that movie. He's the one who's written it. He's the one who's developed it. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we should do necessarily anything about it, but our spirits are keenly aware, I think, a lot of times, of when Satan's involved. To be honest with you, there's only one of him, and he can only be in one place at one time, and so he has to build systems to work out of. He's not like God, omnipresent and omniscient. He doesn't know what you think all the time, and he isn't with you all the time. There's only one of him. I kind of camp on the whole idea that, you know, he's busy. What would he bother with Longview for? He's got little dudes, little demons that work in here. They're all over the place in Longview. I talked to a guy today. His name's Don. Hopefully he'll come back. He arrived on a bus from North Carolina yesterday, last night, I think. Didn't have any. He moved here because he's a mechanic, and he's getting older, and he's getting tired of working in the heat and humidity in North Carolina. So he came here because he was trying to find a place that he could work all year round. This is the conversation I had with him this morning before anybody got here. So Don said, I thought this was going to be a good place to come. And he just looked on a map and saw the river, the cities, and he said, this seems like a good place. Came in here to the house of prayer this morning and sat on a chair out here. And while he was on a chair, somebody stole his tools that were sitting on the out on the deck. He planned on becoming a mechanic. He wanted to open a shop. He had a little bit of money. He wanted to open a shop, start a small engine repair. And somebody stole his tools. And he was like, what kind of city is this that somebody would do something like that? Apparently, it doesn't happen much in North Carolina. I said, oh, you have no idea about this neighborhood. There are some people around here who really will use every means they can to help themselves get through life, including taking your stuff. He was here for less than 24 hours, and somebody stole all of his tools. He's got the rest of his stuff, but those tools were important to him because that's his livelihood. So he asked me for some advice. Do you think this city is worth staying at, or should I go somewhere else? And I said, oh, by all means, stay here. You need to be here. He said, can I catch a shuttle? I said there was a shuttle to Portland. Because he's looking for a place that he could stay for the night, which are called, what are they called? Yeah, not hostels. Rescue missions, where they'll just take people in every night. We don't have that here. We have Community House, which is a 90-day program. They're full almost all the time. So we really don't have a place that people can stay. So I told him to come back a little later, and maybe we could help him out with some money and just help him. He's got a little bit of money, but he needs to get a job. And so I told him, your best luck would be finding somebody you could work for and just in a real meager way, and let those people in that business help you get established, because relationship is everything. And he looked at me and he said, that's the first time I've heard anything positive today. It's mostly people just, go. And that happened this morning. That happens all the time. I think the Holy Spirit was in the midst of that whole conversation. I think the Holy Spirit led and guided that whole. I think the Holy Spirit brought him here. I'm not saying that we're the Savior, but the Holy Spirit knows who's listening to his voice. And I know you guys. You listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. You really do. So, satanic spirit agrees with the Word of God and the nature of God. It's the pure voice. Satanic, when words have a satanic origin, it contradicts the Word of God. And then secular is the gray areas, where it's really sometimes hard to tell whether it's God or whether it's the culture or whether it's you. Sometimes you can be deceived and distracted. One guy said it's like the sin lawyer. He's always looking for loopholes. The secular voice is always looking for, well, did God really say? Or, is it okay to do this and be a Christian, or is it okay if I move this direction to be a Christian? And a lot of times you need real discernment. But those three categories are where the voices usually come from. So how do you tell, how do you know the source, where the source is? I love what Graham Cook says. He says, how you know God will determine how you hear God. If you know him to be judgmental, a dad with a big stick, just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can smack you, what you're going to hear comes through that filter. If you know, this is the other side, and this is just as scary. If you know God is the one who, he knows what I'm like, he knows what I'm thinking, he's okay with it. If that's the filter that you know God through, that's the way you'll hear God. And you'll get away with murder and ruin your life and ruin people's lives all around you. There's a voice that God has, the Holy Spirit has, that reflects the character of God. That's what he's saying here. You need to know God so that you can hear God. We need God to hear God. We can't hear God apart from him, which sounds a little redundant, but it says in 1 John chapter 4, Don't trust every spirit, but carefully examine what they say to determine if they are God, because many false prophets have mingled into the world. I love the way the Passion Translation says it. Many false prophets have mingled into the world. They've infiltrated the world. They've snuck into this place. They've got into the workplace. Many false prophets have got into the church and have messed up the church, got into prayer groups and messed up prayer groups, got into, I mean, you guys that have walked in the prophetic for a while know how false prophets can get in the midst of the prophetic and mess things up. So you just need discernment. Another guy I was listening to kind of said that it comes down to these three things when it comes to knowing the source. The first is silence and stillness, and I really like this. Because we tend to get all amped up when we want to hear from God. You know, we tend to kind of dial things up. And the real, one of the ways that you can hear from God and really know whether the source is just you or the Holy Spirit is to actually dial things down. And there's two areas, silence and stillness. Silence is dialing down everything around you. So turning off the phone, turning off the TV, going into a quiet place and parking and listening. So there's silence all around you. So you shut down the outside distractions. Talks about that in Psalm 62, and quieting your outer man. And it's hard to do sometimes. You know, you'll turn everything off, and first thing I do is I go to sleep. Because I am so tired from being going all the time that the first chance I have for quiet, I'm like, But you learn. You persevere through that. The other is stillness. Stillness is quieting the inner voice, quieting all that stuff that's inside you that causes so much chaos in your life. And again, you know what this is like. You sit still for a little bit and see what happens. You all of a sudden, the engine starts going. I just, you know, I look and see things that need to be taken care of, or people I need to call, or a scripture I heard. I'm distracted. I'm pulled away. So stillness is quieting that inner voice. And so that God can speak into the situation. So, and unless you really work at silence and stillness, you won't do it. Because there's nothing in our culture that encourages this. There's nothing that encourages us to be still. Everything encourages us to do more so you'll look better, so God will love you. Right? You want to do more stuff so you look better to the people around you, and your thought is, the more I do and the better I look, the more God loves me. Well, the reality is he loves you in the stillness and the silence. And when you go there, you give him a chance to speak. I mean, how many times do we sit down to pray and it isn't 10 seconds before a word comes out of our mouth? What would it be like to pray, say, I'm going to go pray for a while, and you sit down. You turn off everything around you and you start shutting down that inner voice, and so the voice of God can be heard. That's prayer. We make fun of people who always want to have the last word. I think Christians are famous for always wanting to have the first word. I think we always want to have the first word. I know that because I'm a professional at this. You sit in a group, let's pray. The tension is almost immediate for me to say something. I have to keep my mouth shut in order for this to happen. Because my first tendency is to say something in prayer. Because it's my job. That's my job. I'm a professional prayer, you know? You get around a bunch of intercessors, and it's really hard for them to not say anything. But, you know, a lot of times it's a great place to start. John Coltrane, anybody know who he is? He's a jazz sax player. John Coltrane made his mark in jazz by improvisational work that had this amazing speed that he played at. It was like, Kevin, he's one of your favorites, isn't he?
Not at all.
It's just all over the place. It's squeaking, yeah. You know, it's just all over the place. John Coltrane played like that. He was He was born in 26 and died in 1967, but he was an amazing saxophone player and played this breakneck speed. No one ever heard of a musician who could play and move his fingers as fast as John Coltrane. He would play gigs with superstars of his day, and people would, he changed the genre, the jazz genre, forever because of the way he played, because of his style. In 1957, his system, which was ravaged by drugs and alcohol, just kind of broke down. He kind of fell apart. He went to his mother's house and sought the Lord in the quiet of his room. John did. According to the pastor and jazz aficionado, Robert Galinas, 4 days, this is what he said, he wrote, 4 days later he emerged a changed man, for according to him, God had met him in a most unusual way. God met him in a sound. Isn't that cool? Because that was the language he spoke. It was a sound, a droning resonance, a reverberation, unlike anything he'd ever heard. God's presence had come to John Coltrane in a sound. Not only did that change his life, but that changed the way he played. After that, he started playing more blues, and he started slowing things down and playing more melodically. So check out his old stuff. His newer stuff was like vibrant, and his newer stuff was, yeah, his newer stuff. It changed the way he played. It changed his personality. It changed the way he plays his instrument. And it's interesting. I was listening to that this morning. I was going to try to find a recording of his new stuff and his old stuff. And it was really hard to do, put together 5 minutes before we started today. But I heard it. He was a changed man, but his music changed as well. He went and sat in the stillness and the silence, an addict. And he came out a changed man because God spoke to him in a way that he could understand. Through sound. So silence and stillness is one way. Obedience is another way you can figure out where it's coming from. Sin can cause you to go deaf spiritually. Dealing with our sin, which is through forgiveness, frees us to hear the Holy Spirit's voice with clarity. That doesn't mean that people who are involved in unrepentant sin can't hear his voice. But a lot of times they won't hear it with clarity and they won't hear it with consistency. I mean, it really does influence your ability to hear the Lord if you've got unrepentant sin in your life. And I'd say that as opposed to sin, because we all have sin in our lives. We all struggle with sin, every single one of us. And if you don't think you do, you have a sin of pride. Because all of us struggle with sin. The question is, what do you do with that? Have you repented? Have you been forgiven? Have you been set free? And that kind of obedience to the things that God has called us to do, that keeping sin out of our life a lot of times will improve and increase the amount of that we hear from the Lord. Besides, he's not going to give you step one and two until you get to step one. If you can't be obedient to the things that he's called you to do in step one, you're rarely going to get to step two. And we're on a journey with God. So a lot of times it comes in step one, step two, step three, step four, and he moves you along in your journey depending on your ability to hear his voice. And a lot of that comes through obedience. And the third way is reading the word of God. That's pretty obvious. Hiding his word in your heart doesn't just keep you from disobedience, and also dramatically increases the clarity that you hear his voice with. Hiding his word in your heart. You know what that is? That's not just reading the word of God, but that's taking the word of God, chewing on it like a cow chews on its cud, and letting it just seep into you at every level. Try this week. Take one verse from Psalm. Go to Psalms. It's an easy place to find. Find a verse and just stick with it all week long. And don't pray. Don't read the word. Don't do anything except that one verse. And see if it doesn't get into you in a way that dramatically changes the way you think. All it takes is one verse. I mean, I know people who memorize Scripture. The reason why we memorize Scripture is so that it gets into us. Have you ever heard Bobby Connor? Like in 1 hour session, he probably spits out 80 or 90 different verses and quotes them. Part of that is because he's a Baptist. Thank God for Baptists. they actually demand that you know the word. They're probably going to be really helpful at the end of the age. So you want to hang around some Baptists because they know the word. We should know the word too. And we're kind of famous for, well, I think it says somewhere, or I don't really know where it says this, but I know this is in the word. And then we misquote it and change it. And it's just really important that we know his word and we have it hidden in our heart. Because that's part of the filter that he speaks through. He speaks through the word. That's how we know that it's him. I'm almost done. This is amazing. Changing the way you think about the Holy Spirit's voice in your life. Listen to this. This is how things change for you and us, for me. Dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior of the world or the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, and it comes through revelation from the Holy Spirit. Everything that we need is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that. Everything that we need is spoken to us by the Holy Spirit. It's set. The Holy Spirit says these things to us. And you can hear God in a lot of different ways. You can hear God through reading the word. You can hear God through another person's voice. They can speak to you and you go, oh man, that's really the Lord. Or you can hear it through an inner intuition, which is just a sense you have. Rarely do you hear the voice of God. And I think that sometimes when we listen to people who have a lot of notoriety, we think that that happens all the time. A lot of these guys, it's happened to one or two or three times in their lives. And these guys who have just crazy, they've been on a crazy journey with God. But still, for most people, what they hear when they hear the voice of God is an inner intuition. It's an inner voice. It's usually a pretty quiet voice. It doesn't usually God yelling at them. It usually comes in the quietness. Or it's subtle. I mean, you're thinking about 15 different things and the Lord speaks something through all that chaos and you hear it. How remarkable is that, that we can hear God in the midst of all that noise? So how much more will he give us if we quiet down and listen to what he's saying? You know, next time you go to pray for somebody for healing, don't say anything for a couple of minutes. Oh, seconds. That's a little unrealistic, minutes. But, I mean, because I know that you've come to pray. You know, you've come to minister. So what that means is saying words. Well, let the Holy Spirit say something to you before you say something to them. That's why I like the fire tunnel, because it's explosive. It's like, I don't know what's going on, but you've got a line of people here and a line of people here who are just letting go of everything that the Holy Spirit wants to go through them. It's an open circuit. You know, it's an open circuit. And anything God says, I was down here and I was saying some things over people, and all I was saying was what these like, these brain like synapses going off in my head, like words or a short phrase or two words. And I was just repeating them. That's all I was doing. The Holy Spirit is speaking into us and through us in a pretty volatile environment because he wants to get to somebody's heart or get to their emotions or get to their will. And that's just one way to do it. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there all the time because it can, like anything else, it can get pretty predictable. But today, when we are singing that phrase, captivate my heart again, or is that it? Captivate my heart again. I felt like the Lord said, I want to do that in a dramatic way for some people. Some of you went through the fire tunnel. Did anybody experience that whole dynamic where you felt like he got your heart again? Anybody? It was worth it for you guys. It was worth it for one. It was worth it that he got your heart again. You know, it's cool. It's cool when the Lord does that. Because, like I said, the Holy Spirit always has things he wants to say. And he does it by changing the way we think about things. If you think that you're a negative person, he wants to change that. If you don't think you have any hope in your life, he's going to change the way you think. which will change the way you speak. Because the Holy Spirit changes the way we think first, and then we can speak differently. So remember the big picture. I don't know what this all means. This is just like everything, the big picture. The Father wants to love you. The Father wants to love. That's on his agenda. That's what he does for a living. He wants to love. He loves. Jesus wants to set free and restore. That's going on all the time. The enemy wants to distract us, to kill us, steal, and destroy us. He wants to take from us. That's going on all the time. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us all the time, and he is speaking to us all the time. Seekers want to hear. I just want you to hear that. Seekers, people who are seeking God want to hear what God says. And most of the time, it's not going to be in isolation from people, but it's because people like you and I have the boldness to speak, just to speak into a situation. Seekers want to hear. They're not mad at you. It's not that they don't like you. It's not that they're tired of hearing what you... They want to know. Most of the people who are close to you and respect you and love you and are not serving Jesus, not walking with Jesus, or not believers, they want to go to church with you. They don't want you to invite them. They don't want you to invite them to your church. They want to go with you. They want to come to your house. They want to see how you live. They want to see why you are the way you are. The more we become like Jesus, the more people who are hungry for Jesus want to spend time with us. And it is the hardest thing in the world to do. Because especially us in the Northwest, we're so isolated and so insulated from the world around us. We are independent, and we have fences in our backyard, and no one can get in, and the doors are locked. And, you know, go sit in the front porch. Say hi to your neighbor. Even walk across the street and ask them how their day is going. You know, it's just like when we begin to move out of our comfort zone, we're going to see some miraculous things happen because seekers want to hear. They want to hear what God has done in our lives. And believers, that's you and I, we want to listen, learn, stretch, respond, and grow. We want to move forward. I love this body. I love who you guys are because you challenge me to be that person, to not stay where we're at, to not do the same thing over and over again. I mean, even this teaching this morning, it was up for grabs, whether it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, whether it was going to happen, because the Holy Spirit really can organize and direct things the way he wants to. Hopefully, we agreed with his heart today. I doubt that we did everything that he wanted done today. I just doubt that there was not more. I think if we really listen to the Holy Spirit and followed his direction, we'd probably go for 6-7 hours when we get together. Because I just don't think he likes stopping. I don't think he likes transitioning. You know, he's not intimidated when the kids come out. What's the Holy Spirit saying right now? What does he want to do right now? I don't know. But I'm going to keep listening. I think we should keep listening. I think we should learn and grow and keep listening. The times when we're together, we should be paying attention to his voice and being bold enough to say, this is what I feel like God's saying. I did it again. It just flows off your tongue so naturally. I feel like that instead of saying, this is what God wants to do right now. This is the voice that I've heard. I challenge you with this one. This is what I heard right now. And we do that. You guys do that. But more. Just more. This is what I heard him say. Yeah, Jerry, come on up.
I don't really need to come up. The Lord told me this morning. The Lord said this morning to pray for new wineskin. He says, pray for new wineskin.
Diane, you do a great job of doing this during worship, too. This is what he's saying. Because that's what happens, right?
Tell him how that works with you when you're singing up there. What's going on inside?
The Holy Spirit will just start, give me a word, and I'll just sing one word out, and then more words follow. I really don't know what's going to come next. It just comes out.
Saying it and you're repeating it?
Well, he'll give me like one thing, like open. So I'll just sing it out, and as soon as I start singing it out, stuff just comes out.
Yeah.
Like rivers, yeah. It just comes. Yes?
The Lord prays, he says to me, moving will be hard, but you have to pull through.
So he encourages you because you need it. What's he saying?
What?
What's the Holy Spirit saying?
Right now?
Yeah.
Purify.
Purify? What about you? What's he saying right now?
He's calling deeper.
Calling deeper?
Katie's like looking the other way. Don't say anything to me. I'm not in this family. That's their thing, not my thing. What's he saying, Joan?
He's trying to make me say something. But, you know, I just want to share something about my grandchildren. If it's all right, I'm not one of these grandmas that just brag all the time. But the other day, they came over on their bicycles. And they're just riding around. I didn't even know they were out there. And then down, they went down. I looked out the window, and they were down in my yard. And I go to the deck and wave at them. And pretty soon they came in. And I was getting ready to go up to Tacoma to do my art show thing. And they came in the house. So I had all these paintings all over. And they're all kind of some, you know, you have to know what they say. And they came in and they go, oh, Grandma. What are those? And then I says, you tell me. What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Oh, my gosh. Now, these kids don't always get to go to church and all this stuff. Five, you know, only six, seven, and Livy, 12. And they came in, and Cohen, the youngest one, he starts telling me what each one of those paintings, this one goes with this one. He was speaking to me. These kids, our children, went... Oh, man, listen to them. They are hearing from God. And they grabbed my hands and said, Grandma, we want to pray for you. I didn't initiate this. I'm just like in shock, going, yes, I need prayer. And, you know, they started praying. And when Braxton said, he says, Grandma, we're praying that you do really good. And I says, you know, all I do is just want to bless people, you know, with what they say. And they, and Braxton says, I know, Grandma, but we want you to get blessed. And they just, I'm telling you, listen to your kids, pull it out of them. I mean, they've got cool. It.
That's really cool. So if your kids came out, you know, kids, just be patient for a second because the Holy Spirit's talking. You know, you guys get this all the time. Christina, I know that you hear the Lord all the time. What do you do with the stuff that you hear? Do you write it down? Do you tell people? Sometimes. What does it feel like when the Holy Spirit speaks to you?
I don't know how to exactly explain it. I would just say I have a way of knowing the difference between my own random, I guess, rabbit trails to what the Holy Spirit's saying. I think it's... Yeah, and sometimes when I'm, sometimes I'll try to be like getting a word, or like I'm like, I really want to get a word, like it's my intention, and sometimes I just don't hear anything, and then I'm like, all right, but usually it's in his time, yeah. Not mine. Yeah.
So, David, you're weird. I think people wonder how you hear God. How do you? What does it sound like when you hear God?
I'd say like very clear. Like in hindsight, I'd be like, "That was God," you know, because most of the time I'm going about my stuff and. And all these thoughts are rushing around. I'm wondering which way to go or whatever. And that's confusion. And he's not the author of confusion. When I approach a situation or a person and it's just like this is what we're doing. Yeah. That's God. And you just know it. I mean, yeah. You know, there's no this way or that way. It's just like this is what we're doing. This is what needs to be done.
But it doesn't have to be loud.
No, but it can be quiet, but it's very... real, you know. Yeah.
Shonda, how are you here?
Whoa. I don't want to talk to you. Shonda, call me Shonda. I just think that it's like anything else when you you learn to listen and you learn to communicate. Like, I'm just amazed at, like, I woke up this morning and the first thing I heard the Holy Spirit say, which I always say Jesus, but Holy Spirit say to me is, I just love you. And I just felt just the presence on my face. And it was just like, I don't deserve this. This is amazing. And I woke up yesterday morning and I said, because I've been really busy, I just want to spend time in the Word and I just give you this day, Jesus. And I think just those simple little things of obedience that aren't even hard, it's like I get so much more out of it. It's just that He just is so much more present. And it's like relationship with your husband or your friends. If you don't ever see Him and talk to Him, which I'm horrible at that, if you don't ever see Him and talk to Him, you're not going to hear them. You don't know what's on their heart. They don't know what's on your heart. There's that communication back and forth. And it's the best life you can ever have. They say walking in the Spirit, it's living in the presence of the living God. How amazing. Anyway. That's good,
Kelly. Nothing to say?
No.
I love picking on Jody because she has grown so much in the last couple of years in her relationship with God. And she has so much that she could teach us as a body, but she just doesn't like it so much. The talking part. So how do we move forward? How do we move forward in this? How do we grow in this? Yell it out. Obedience. How do we grow? Stay intimate. Stay connected. John 15. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask anything you want. What else? Stop worrying about fear. Fear of man. Yeah. Easy. Spend time loving Him. What else? Anything from the back row? What do we do to keep moving forward? What? What? Don't look back. Don't quit. Yeah. Let Him love us. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to commend you guys. You are doing well. You are doing well. This isn't like, come on, you can do it. You guys are slugs, but you can pull this off. Just get your little slug legs going. This is not what's going on. This is me saying, good job. Good job. I mean, I taught today on hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know how to do that. Today was just meant to encourage you. It's meant to encourage you. Let's be more direct, more bold. Let's continue to ask for to hear His voice and understand His voice more and more and more. Tammy, what were you going to say? Put it into action. Yeah. Yeah, do something about it. Do something with it. Let's stand. Grab somebody's hand that's close to you because it's just a cool Christian thing to do. It's called koinonia. And if you love Jesus and if you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and you really want to grow in your relationship with God, just give Him a couple squeezes and let Him know, yeah, I'm holding hands with somebody who wants to grow, who loves God. You know, kind of like turn around and blow in their ear or something. Really freak them out. Make them think that the Holy Spirit is right next to them. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Lord, we pray together with one voice. Take us deeper. Take us further. Take us, Lord, somewhere. We don't want this journey to end. We want to keep going on this journey with You, going deeper with You. More understanding, more knowledge, more maturity, Lord. We want to keep going with You. And we want to go together. None of us want to go alone, Lord. We want to go together as a group of people who are just in love with You. We're confident in Your love. not so confident in ours for you, but hey, we're getting better. We're confident that you love us, Lord, and that confidence in your love is going to take us places that are amazing, Lord Jesus. So we just say yes to you. We want to go where you want to go. Keep speaking, Holy Spirit. Keep speaking. Amen. I would really encourage you, if you want to see God speak through a person, go on YouTube and listen to Sean Bowles. He's just a great example of how God can speak through someone to other people with a heart of love. And it'll challenge you. Bless you guys.